Hello and welcome to another episode of 10,000 Hours. I'm Grant Spanier.
And I'm Vince Cochi.
And you are listening to episode 76 of the podcast. A V-rare, as they say on the internet, what you do is, instead of saying very, so the word very, you're familiar
with? I'm tracking with the word very.
Okay. Instead of saying the full word or typing it, you just put V. So in this case, I say a V-rare. I really am saying very rare. And what I'm doing is I'm proving to the listener that I'm hip, I'm with it.
And I get you understand lingo. That they don't have time to listen to the full word.
Exactly. And that's what a lot of this show is about.
Yeah, they're life hacks. We're a life hack podcast. And one very prominent life hack is shortening words. Grant, this is a really fun episode because it was something that we don't get to do too much anymore.
It was a grep.
And it's kind of a happy problem to have because we have a lot of guests, a lot of awesome, amazing, interesting, wonderful guests. But this week, we got to go old school and have a hostful episode, just you and I.
Yeah, and grep stands for a great episode. So what we've done there is we've shortened it again, thus saving the listener time. Because I hate those intros that just drag on. It's like, pardon my language here, but get to the fucking show, right?
I'm not here for the intro.
And frankly, I don't need to hear this stupid, kind of pretentious and sort of like
pontificating,
referential, hostful banter. It's like, stop. Okay, we get it. You have a podcast. Congratulations.
But why do we have a podcast?
Because we're seeking validation.
Not necessarily, okay. But in some ways, yes.
I thought you put it on the tee for me to hit off.
No, there. I did. I was perfect. Because validation, discussed on the show this week, is a natural part of the creative process. And whether it can, we're not sure, come from within, or in some ways it can, or comes externally, it's an important part of growth and internal reward system.
Totally.
And art in general.
Absolutely, man. It was a good app, dude. Thank you. That was a fun one. And thank you to Simplecast, the easiest way. IMO.
Now that means,
in my opinion, yeah.
But it's also an objectively easy way.
It is objectively easy to say. Yeah. But it is subjective, which is why I say IMO. I do want to be clear about that. IMO, the easiest way to publish your podcasts, which is what we use. So if you're interested in publishing a podcast, I would highly recommend using Simplecast. Props to them.
Look it up. Yep. Simplecast.fm.
.fm.
And so, thank you for sponsoring this episode.
So that's a reference to old radio. I feel like FM, is that an acronym? Frequency math.
Oh, no, it is, but I think it might actually be like
Dude, it was Latin. The OG sort of internet lingo.
Yeah.
Hello.
Actually, kind of in a way. Yeah. So that's an interesting topic that maybe someday we'll broach on another subject. But until then, thank you so much to Simplecast. Thank you, Grant.
Thank you, Vince.
And thank you, listeners. Hope you enjoy episode 76, Validation. Pop-up video. Do you remember that from our younger days?
Nope.
No?
What is it?
It was on VH1, and they would play music videos with all little factoids about the production and history of the band would pop up.
Oh, cool. I don't often put this before your name, but Mr. Vince...
Wow.
Would you tell me what you're putting your time into? And be specific. But don't go overboard with detail. Sort of paint with broad strokes, but I do want to see some of the shadows and the highlights. I'd like to still have a picture, something I could frame and put on my wall, but I don't need it to be photorealistic, you know? It doesn't, and again, not too abstract. So just, if you could, just tell me what you're working on.
Grant, that was a pleasant ramble. I was captivated for the entire time. Maybe it was your calming, dulcet voice, but that didn't irk me like it usually does. No, I'm just like, it's not a too terribly exciting answer, but I'm busy at the office. We have a lot of pitches. I can't dive into more detail, but we did get some very good positive news
Bit of a
about a
win.
pitch.
Clearly a win.
Yes. I would say a thrown strike for sure in the linguistics of the baseball playoffs. But yeah, it's a good day at the office today, but it was a busy one. We just got all the photos back from the Animal Humane Society shoot that I
Ooh.
was on. It was a 2-day shoot, and we got just gigs, that seems too small still, of pictures.
You're gonna say like you there were gigs all around, like everybody was
Everyone was
lolzing,
giggling.
laughing.
Yeah, so it's great, but busy. Grant, you're recently back from a trip, believe it or not.
Side note, I was just thinking of an episode of Risk, Jason, or what's his name? Excuse me, Kevin Allison.
Yes,
You
yes,
remember
yes.
his podcast, and he was a former guest. But in one of those, excuse me, one of those episodes, this woman tells this long drawn out story of like all of these credit fraud problems and like identity theft, and it ends up, sorry to steal the punchline, it ends up that her like long term boyfriend of several years had just been like lying and like he didn't actually have a job and was like not actually going to an office, and I was just like picturing a world where that's you, like you're this quote unquote office you're always
I
working
have the 9 to 5. I'm always, selling myself as, oh, from the agency perspective, And then it
just
turns out every
unemployed for like
day
6 years,
I just go and stand on the 10th Avenue Bridge and
panhandling.
just stare at the cars all day.
No, okay.
I'm like some sort of psychopath.
So yes, I'm recently back. Well, yeah, you still are. But recently back from San Diego, sunny, sunny San Diego. What a joy! It was like 95 degrees when I was there. Oh, baby.
Beautiful San Diego weather, as always, Southern
Pretty good.
California.
Yep.
And you were there visiting?
Several reasons. I hate to let's not show notes him, but David Sherry of Death to Stock. I met up with him. We were crashing at Airbnb, but a block from the beach, just working on a couple of projects and hanging out. We're friends and collaborators, so that's cool. Yeah, dude, he's really blossomed into what a homie, you know?
Absolutely.
Yeah, so they did that for a few days, and then I met up with some friends for the weekend, and we went to a little music festival called Crossed, CRSSD. Awesome lineup, mostly electronic stuff, right in the bay by the
Who headlined?
water. Several people, well, there were like several people, but like one of maybe four non-electronic acts, like Flaming Lips, was a headliner on TV on the radio.
Oh,
And then
cool.
also like Jamie XX,
Excellent,
Zoo.
man.
Yeah, there was like some really, Nicholas Jarre was one of my favorite performances.
Oh, that's the first
And
name I didn't recognize.
yeah, he's really good. Oh yeah. But what I'll do is I will show notes the I just posted the article today when we're recording this or dating it. Almost the most specifically we ever have. But posted my photos I took with Gallant, an artist named Gallant, who's super dope, like incredible singer. Oh my gosh. He's like kind of like future RB or R&B and like wow, he killed it. And yeah, I had a blast with him. That was really cool.
Awesome, dude.
Yeah, and now I'm back.
Does it feel good to be back, or do you already miss it, man?
Yeah, it's good. I've just been bouncing around so much, and yeah.
And about to bounce again, right? You move
Yeah,
this
I'm
weekend.
moving, and then, we were talking about it before, but waiting on some project news potentially. It would send me away for a week or so. I'm not sure. But it's good. It's all good stuff. I'm excited. I am really looking forward to having my studio again. Basically, I have a huge room, and we have an extra room at the next house I'm living at with a couple of like music DJ producer types, and I'll finally have some my own space again to work. That's been like maddening for the last 2.5 months. It's like crazy to me.
Man, we've talked about it a dozen times or
Yeah,
more on the show, the
yeah.
importance of an atmosphere and a contained space and
Rituals
some sort
and
of
yeah.
segmentation in your life. And
Oof.
I can only imagine how easy it is just to be distracted and even maybe overwhelmed at times when you don't
Yeah.
have
Your systems, man. You got your stuff.
compartmentalization.
Yeah, you just get your stuff. It's like fucking even something as simple as like going, like I have to like, write checks out to people. Oh, my checks are in storage. Or I'm just like, God.
Yeah, man. I can't imagine.
Yeah, but it's okay. I'm all right. I'm fine.
As soon.
These are very first world problems, as they say. But I'm looking forward to getting in there, checking that out. Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah. And you moved recently. You're here.
Yeah, a couple weeks ago. Nearby shit. Now. Shit. Life's good, man. Life's good. It's a busy time of year always, right? Fall's when you start. I don't know what it is, but I'm always more productive now than
I feel like I'm
ever.
Not anxious, but it's definitely something where it's like you're like, ooh, change is upon us and everything is happening and
oh, yeah.
Gives you some itchy feet.
It's this time and then it's also New Year's time.
Yeah. You're just like, you know what? My whole life is going to be better now. I'm going to fix myself. You know what? Here, finally, I'm putting my foot down.
And you know what kind of is related to that? Sort of.
Sweet segue.
Thanks, man. Always.
And you know what is kind of related to that, sort of?
Well, it's not unrelated.
Okay. Go on.
So, especially, Grant, I think you, but I think us all, when we're in fields where we have to put ourselves out there and create things and be creative, a tricky topic that I don't think there's any one good way to address or tackle is validation. And how to self-validate or where to seek validation from others and when it's appropriate to do so and natural to do so and when it doesn't really help to do so. And you, Grant, as someone who has forayed into many different kinds of art and expression and creation, you have just by nature and by virtue experienced a lot of different types of validation and a lot of different various maybe needs for validation.
For sure.
So this is something we talk about offline together, and we thought, why not? Now that we're having a hostful,
let's
talk about it. Yeah, in front of the listeners.
It's kind of related to, I mean, it's a form of feedback, which is something we talk about. Is it's super important for most work, it seems. But I think when we're talking about validation, we more specifically mean something that is like positive. Or legitimizing, or it's like sort of proof of a level being reached. It's like if this was a video game, it's like you beat one level and it's like you get the reward. I mean, and it could come in a lot of different forms, you know? Like I feel like sometimes it too is just it can be like self-rewarded validation. But I don't know, most times it seems like it has to at least originate from some sort of outside source. That's kind of like the nature of validation, which is to say that it like comes from elsewhere and gives you a sense of legitimacy inward.
I would totally agree. I think that's what makes the word validation, not to be semantic about it, but makes it meaningful, is that you can do things for the right reasons personally and you can strive toward personal goals. And that's important. Maybe it's even more important. But validation is, it's not superfluous.
Yeah.
And it certainly comes from an external place.
I think I'll agree. I think it kind of has to.
Yeah, for sure. And what I think is a kind of a natural tendency, but I don't think it's the whole truth, and I don't think it's totally 100% useful, is this kind of mentality that you shouldn't need, especially in art and creativity, validation to do what you're doing. But in practice, that's not true at all. At least I don't think so.
So wait, so you're saying you shouldn't, like, there's the idea, a general idea that people would say that you don't need validation. Like you should avoid it. Like
is that like the narrative
selling out kind of
that, like, validation is like a weakness kind of.
For sure.
It's weak to need validation as an artist.
Sure. Yeah.
But I don't think that's a fair categorization.
That is a little bit over. I don't know. Of course, like any contentious subject, I kind of see
both sides of the argument.
Yeah, but there's like not needing validation to me is the idea that what you're doing is coming from a place of honesty and authenticity, and you are very much self-fueled, and you're not relying on that fuel. I think maybe it was C21A, or it might have been like The Art of Happy or something like that. One of these blogs I'd written at some point. I remember drawing a comparison between like being fueled by other people and being fueled by yourself. And being fueled by yourself is like sustainable energy. It's like solar energy because you can like just create it and it doesn't. Whereas like being fueled by the validation or the recognition of others is sort of like a fossil fuel
I made that comparison. I do think that's kind of true. I feel like just as a general principle, I think you can go longer, farther, better, faster, like when you're self-motivated, because you don't rely on the fossil fuels, quote unquote.
Oh, I couldn't agree more. It's not at all. Only being fueled by validation is a good way to just crash and burn.
To crash and burn.
And
totally.
Never be able to produce anything
yeah.
meaningful. I think it's less that it's good to have outside validation and more that it's realistic to realize that we all need external motivation or external validation, because I don't know about you, and maybe it's something worth pursuing, but without some sort of positive feedback
yeah.
and some sort of check and balance that, you know, the world agrees with you even in some small way that you're doing things the right
yeah.
way or you're making something cool, it means I can't have personal motivation. My personal motivation starts to falter as well.
Dude, totally. It would be so hypocritical if I was to argue that like it's not a necessary element or at least a good element, especially, and I don't think she would mind me admitting this, but I just played you that voice memo I got from friend of the show, at least distant friend of the show, Brittany, formerly Obi, now Step, I believe. She got married. But things like that. She left me a very nice message.
It was glowing.
Yeah.
And it was genuine and it was just really good.
And frankly, like if I really truly look back, you know, the last few years, I've had a lot of those in different forms or, you know, lower scale, whatever, you know, but just sort of positive reinforcement of somebody saying like, hey, I recognize what you're doing and I think it's good and I think it's generous or I think it's helpful or I think it's admirable, anything. And I applaud you for doing that. Like, that's fucking, like, dude, I've like cried so many times from that stuff. Cause it's like, you know, you toil away and you're in your own head. You're in, you know, or you're literally alone in the studio or you're
yeah.
whatever. And then you get some like glimmer of something, like somebody says like, I see you and I appreciate you. And it's like, oh, and dude, yeah, ultimately we are social beings. You know,
exactly.
The most, I think the most, even the reclusive artists, like, we know about them and we interact with them or whatever because they have put things out into the world. Because as an artist, I think, man, I don't really know any artist, at least off the top of my head, that makes things and doesn't want anyone to see them.
Yeah, even if they want, even if their validation is for people not to like it.
Sure, yeah.
They don't make it and then keep it locked away.
Totally. So I think, you know, maybe a balance there is to say validation can be really helpful, positive. It can be like really inspiring. To put too much stake in it as like the end game can be dangerous, because I think that can really stop you from producing. But like to discount it and say that it's not, that it's selling out to be seeking that is crazy. Because
I
think in some ways it's sort of not selling out, but perhaps the phrase that comes to mind is like pussing out, like being weak, but that's like a horrible phrase. That's like not actually what I want to say. But
right,
you know,
right.
The idea of like, I think it's actually weakness to not acknowledge the reality of an influence or a potential influence. And that's you avoiding it. That's you saying like, no, I don't need you. Like, I'm fine. Like, and I think really like acknowledging it that like, oh, this does have an impact on me. I think that's more vulnerable. And I think that's like ultimately more positive, like validation. Yeah. You know what? I don't hate it. That's
yeah.
okay. It does fuel me in some ways, like getting feedback from people, getting positive feedback. Like that's awesome.
And I think when you take another step back and say like positive reinforcement makes me feel good, that's like the most common sense statement of all time. So it makes no sense for people to reject validation wholesale as an idea.
It's the literal chemical basis of our motivation system, right?
Yeah,
I mean, what
is
dopamine but like a positive reinforcement for an action taken?
It's our body rewarding us for doing something good, right?
Certainly. And it's the same chemical that's released when these things happen, you know?
Yeah.
And so it's again, it's yeah.
It goes down to our base nature.
Yeah.
I would like to get your opinion on this piece of what I think validation also represents. I think someone who doesn't seek validation or actively rejects validation is also rejecting any chance of criticism. And
yeah.
So in this way, it is weaker, in my opinion, to fully reject validation because you're insulating yourself from any sort of meaningful critique of your work.
Mm-hmm. Oh man, and I understand that. I understand that perspective very strongly. And so in that way, I'm like, you know what? I hear you. I told you earlier, I was talking to Laura, friend of the show, sort of.
Laura Fitzpatrick.
Yep. But we were talking about, it was actually a funny conversation because we were talking about, I was talking about photography and like kind of putting my stuff out there more and like taking more sort of like, for lack of a better term, girl sort of portraits or like narratives, little mini narratives.
Yeah.
Sort of like me and a model, and it's female typically, at least that's what I've been more inspired to do. But she was just like asking about like, oh, you're getting like some haters or some like whatever online. I was like, yeah, I don't know, a little bit maybe, but like, I don't really care. And I didn't mean it like, oh, fuck haters.
You're like, not like in a dismissive way.
Yeah, but I really feel like I was lucky enough to have experienced people who were mean to me on the internet, like, you know, probably like maybe 5 years ago when I was in a more underdeveloped phase of a lot of my creative work. And like that kind of hardened me to that stuff. And then also like after just, you know, it's just repetition of like work and putting stuff out there. It's like, you know, it just matters less. It still matters to me as an artist and whatever, but it's like, oh, I'm fine. Like I was like, oh no, I'm fine. No worries. She's like, are you sure? Yeah. It's like, dude, no, I don't care. Like I care about feedback, but I also like know the difference between feedback that comes from a place of constructive criticism or like even just what I would say like good, accurate criticism or feedback, and stuff that comes from a place of usually it seems like insecurity or anger or
just emotional frustration of yeah, some manifestation.
Yeah, and however that has come to be, and it's like I'm over that. It's like I don't put too much stake in it because I know they don't really mean that even. And even no, if they do, it's okay. Yeah.
Yeah. Who was it? I think yeah, it's my friend, my good buddy, my good homie Chad Lewis, who was also on our show, who categorized haters, I think, better than I've ever heard it done before. Basically he said they're fans and consumers who took the time to respond to your work, and so it was negative, but I mean that's validation in and of itself, right? Is that people are consuming what you make and having some sort of reaction to it. And if you can tell that the reaction isn't constructive, then you can ignore it, but you can still take some base value in what they've done, which is react to your work.
Totally. Dude.
What? I mean, people who aren't doing things don't have haters.
Yes, this is very true. And what better, I mean, video, especially on YouTube, is like fertile ground for this. I think of the music videos I put out there and like, it is validating when people respond. Yeah, okay.
So I'm curious because I've only seen very positive things about the videos that you've put out there. Have you gotten
goodness. Oh my goodness, Finn. Maybe we'll just show notes. I think this would be a fun exercise because I find it to be a fun exercise. I didn't know how to do it right away because, dude, I think I told you before, like I stopped reading comments in general, like on blogs and stuff. Probably, mm-hmm. I don't know, it's been a while, a year and a half or something too. I don't know. I have no idea. But I fucking love the comments on, especially on music videos that I've made. They're the best. They're incredible. I mean, there's so many mean ones, so many fucking weird ones, but they're just amazing. I don't know if you saw, I posted recently because it was like the year anniversary of Waitlist. Maybe we'll show notes Waitlist. That basically the first music video I directed. Mm-hmm. And I was like, you know what? After a year of deliberation, I'm giving like top comment to this guy. And like,
no, I didn't see this.
Oh, maybe we can show notes that, or maybe I'll find it. But it was just something like, this is poorly written internet, you know, slamming on the keyboard, but something like, damn, if only like two girls like had a polygamy threesome with me and then like shit, blah, blah, blah. I just like went on this huge rant and then it's like, but shit, I'm still a virgin. No, and there's something I was just like, oh, this is like incredible that through whatever like universal energy and circumstances that led to this moment, you decided to watch this and this is what you typed out and you clicked enter, you know? And it's just like, oh, that's man. Amazing.
That's validation, man.
It kind of is, man. It is to like, to stir something up out of someone. I think, you know, I personally don't have too much interest in stirring up like super negative stuff from people. But
I mean, the nature of some art is to be controversial. Controversial, and so that's validation polarizing. In that respect. But I mean, especially when we talk about productive work and like doing cool, creative things, It's usually to be enjoyed. I think the general end game is to be appreciated.
Totally, man. Yeah, and if not polarizing, at least interesting enough to be discussed. You know? Like, I've thought a lot about that with like music videos and things. It's like, you know, how concrete should the narrative be? How much do I want this to be understood? And like, you know, there's weird middle ground of interpretation, and it's like, oh, do I really don't want to be misunderstood here, you know? And but, you know, I think as long as you come from an authentic place, and this is maybe where we kind of like circle back around to self-awareness, but if you come from an authentic place, it kind of doesn't matter as much, because as long as you're like comfortable with what you're doing, it's validation that someone connects with it in any way. And but if see, that's maybe that's a dangerous game, and I'm just talking out loud here. This isn't fully formed, but like, I feel like when you are putting things out there that aren't authentic, or that like, you know, whether that's you just like pulling too much from an influence or just trying to be a certain thing, I feel like then your feedback, your validation is almost like inherently not false, but invalid. It's invalidation, right? Because it's just like,
I'll definitely at least initially agree to the point that when you're authentic and you put more of your true nature and your true self into the work, validation becomes all that much more meaningful.
Yes.
Because if you say, this is who I am through your creative work, and people say, thank you for telling us who you are.
Yeah.
Then you can, you can feel good in a much more grounded and holistic way. Yeah. Than like, let's say you have a persona. Now, personas can oftentimes be reflection of ourselves anyway. So that's maybe a bad example. But if you're faking it or being disingenuous or following a trend in a hollow manner and you get positive validation, all you can really take from that is that you did a good job emulating.
And yeah.
I mean, it's just less impactful.
Yeah, you know what? Actually, that is a good point, because I think I have done that many times before, where I like, and you don't even realize it necessarily when you're doing it, but you're like, oh, I was just chasing this thing, you know, whether that's
impossible not to in a lot of ways.
Yeah, like let's just say that's even with a photo, like a photo series or something, where you're like, oh, I was just trying to be this thing. And then, but then it's like, oh, this reminds me of this thing. You're like, oh, nice. Okay. Yeah. This is validation in this pursuit, but I now realize like that's not the pursuit I want to actually.
Yeah, and I think it's important to remember that as long as you went into it with a good grounding, and you went into it with some level of self-awareness, and it turns out, yeah, you like fell into the slipstream and you did something expected, or you did something that was emulating something else, there are still parts of that project that were coming from you.
Mm-hmm.
It's when you – a lot of it is intention. Mm-hmm. When you set out. And if you have ill intentions, then the feedback becomes less meaningful.
Yeah, totally. So I have a couple of avenues I want to go down. But I think the first one, I'd be curious to hear about your like validation system. You work at an advertising agency.
Yeah.
You have a full-time job.
Mm-hmm.
You also do a lot of other stuff, whether it's just activities or like, you know, hobbies or freelance work or this or, you know. And you do two podcasts. Like, you're a busy dude. What does your current like validation system look like? You know,
that's
a big question.
Yeah, it's kind like, of it's an interesting
what
question.
What validates? You know what I mean? Like, what makes you feel good? You know, what sort of
it's a good question. I think at the end of the day, what makes me feel better than anything else is the people that I'm working on these things with, these projects. When we can reflect on it and say that we tried hard and did well and had a good time doing it, I think more than anything, that's why, because I don't have too great of an interest. I don't have like much grander aspirations. Like, I don't need, for instance, I don't need these parts to vault me into some sort of comedy career or something. I don't have any interest in that.
Yeah.
I just want like me and my friend Elliot, who I do the show with, to have a good time every week. And to a similar extent, it's 10,000 hours as well. Like, the reason we started the show was to meet with cool people and hear cool stories and spend time together. And so when you can trace back to the foundations of a project, I think understanding what real validation looks like becomes a lot easier. Professionally, I think validation comes from being someone my coworkers and superiors can rely on to do a good job. And evidence of that validation inescapably comes in the form of positive feedback and monetary compensation, right? But more than anything, I think the most validating moment in my still young career was getting a job after having been fired.
Nice. Yeah, dude, that was a big deal.
I think it was validating, not even in a professional sense, but in a personal perseverance sense.
Yeah.
And so validation can come in a lot of forms.
Dude, for
a lot
totally. Of yeah. And it's so many different levels. And actually, now that I'm thinking about it, I will say, I feel like you can validate yourself. Like you get the parking pass and you're sitting there and you're like, oh, wait, I do have the stamp in my pocket. No, but I guess I was just thinking about, I feel like I have had moments of like self-love kind of validation, even when I'm just like, sort of, you're almost outside of yourself and you're realizing like, oh wow, I just like hit some form of milestone. Or like, even I think maybe that validation comes with recognizing progress made mentally on something. So it's like, oh, I'm over, oh wow, I realized I was holding on to this sort of attitude, or I was holding on to this event or this thing, or like whatever. I've had an attitudinal shift. Oh, wow. This is really validating to genuinely feel this way.
Yeah, that's an interesting, because I can't disagree with you, but
contractually, you're not allowed. Otherwise, you're off the show.
No, I think maybe not to get too like
semantic
dreamy,
again, like,
okay. No, dreamy about it or like esoteric, but like, I think when there's personal change and growth and there's like a mental shift, like your new version of yourself can validate your old version of
yourself.
Totally,
man.
Maybe.
That's exactly what it is.
It becomes internally external.
Yep. No, totally. It's new Grant saying to old Grant, like, you did good, buddy.
Yeah, that's what it is.
As he like disappears into the distance.
He fades out Obi-Wan Kenobi style.
Yeah, hell yeah. Man. Okay, cool. So validation. I mean, dude, that's a... From my perspective, a very pure validation system, and or at least, you know, whatever that means, but it seems like a healthy, good, like positive validation system. It also seems like a lot of the things we talk about, but it's just like, you know, aligning your motivations and figuring out what matters.
Yeah, I think we come back to it so often because it's so important and so hard to do is like reflecting on why you're doing something.
Yeah,
that simple question.
Oh fuck, dude! I realized this over and over, and especially the last 2 years. I'm like, dude, already made it. We're already here. Like, we're doing it. We are in the heyday of the thing that our elders are waxing poetic about. We're literally doing that thing. Be fucking aware of the moment. I was just reading, and maybe we can show notes this because it's fucking cool. So Jake Heinitz, who was episode like 11 or something.
Yes.
Who is editor in chief of Greener Magazine, does that with me, which I was on assignment for at Crossed. So that was why I was there. But, he just sent me this article that Fader published. It was like, I forget how many years they've been around. I feel like, it was their 100th episode, or excuse me, 100th, issue, something cool. Like that. And it was like the oral history of the Fader, like how they started, like, and just all these different perspectives and like little paragraphs, blurbs, quotes, pictures, all these things, really long and just fucking cool to me, especially because we are, you know, we're two and a half years into, well, I guess even more now, but building a magazine or like a platform or a brand, I don't know. And it's like, wow, these guys were like so hyped on the grungy, early, all-nighter, like, you know, the really dirty kind of rough times of it. And it's like, I was like texting Jake today. I was just like, dude, we're doing that right now. Like, so it feels like the struggle, but it's the best when we look back on it. And so like, I think it can be the best right now too.
Absolutely, man. That's something that I mean, not to be too dramatic about it, but as you get older,
yeah,
you start to become more acutely aware of the present, I think.
Yeah.
Because it's easy to look ahead too far and look past what's going on. And that's, I mean, you have to do it, right? Because without planning and forethought, things just don't go well. But
yeah.
You have to savor what you're doing, because otherwise, why? What's it all about?
Yeah, so part of that maybe then is like creating some sort of validation loop. Even if you're like, it's like almost like a delayed gratification validation, where it's like, oh wait, the fact that this is hard right now should be validating. Like, we're not getting rewards right now, which is the typical form of validation. But like, let's boost some dopamine in here and get excited about the fact that like, this is hard and this isn't going really well. Like, that's amazing, because when it is perfect, it's not that interesting.
That's a great point. And it also raises the point that you need to know where to look for validation.
Mm-hmm.
Because without, I think we've agreed that without validation, you'll shrivel and die because we just need it.
I think a lot of creativity thrives on it.
But you're not off the hook 100% as the creator. You need to know the right places to look
yeah.
for healthy, rewarding.
Yeah, if this is like eating good food, like don't go to McDonald's.
Don't look on the internet for your validation and there alone.
Yeah, dude, cultivate a good group of honest, positive people around you.
I mean, especially in writing, having a good proof and reflection group is
totally
vital. And it's on you to build that group, though.
Oh, yeah, man. Totally. Yeah, you have a responsibility. You have a responsibility to your own validation. Like, you can't... It doesn't come chasing you.
Yeah, exactly. Because it doesn't come to find you. And it can feel, I would think, and I've felt it before, kind of defeating to go through the work of doing something and then still have to go through the work of making sure...
Validation-seeking?
Exactly,
like,
yeah.
Yeah, trying to... Well, that's still a constant thing, and maybe that's another episode, but it's just like promotion versus creation versus, you know, finding the audience. And
yeah, too many people are too proud to promote, but I think it's because they get the wrong idea. Promotion can be done very, you know, holistically and very simply and very naturally, I think.
I think so, too.
I mean... Talking about something you're fond of and proud of is promotion.
Yeah, totally.
And so if you can do that within your social circles, that's sometimes all you need to do to find validation that's healthy.
Dude, totally. Well, I mean, we could OTT or we could talk a little bit about maybe dark side of validation.
Let's
just kind of see what it looks like a little bit. Because when we think about validation, almost instantly the thing that comes to mind is something we talk about a lot. And something like if I'm meeting someone new who's like maybe younger and it's, you know, a lot, this is a pretty common scenario, which is, and I think maybe the way I put stuff out there and I'm generally active on the internet, especially in like a smaller creative community like Minneapolis, I think I attract certain types of people. And I find that oftentimes those are people who are sort of conflicted, student-ish levels, maybe wanting to be more creative, wanting to do
young,
more creative
upstart,
stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Just like maybe ambitious, but uncertain. And a lot of times those conversations are just like, you know, those people are looking for an answer of some sort, right? They're looking for like, you know, and even I, again, referencing Laura again, she was having coffee with someone and somebody who had asked her to coffee, and like I was chatting with her after, and I was like, she's like, yeah, I don't know what that person wanted. And I was like, oh, that person like has identified you as someone who's doing stuff and they have at least some ambition. And so their natural reaction, which I completely understand. And
I've done before.
And I do again and again, is to glom on, is to get into that mix, is to say hi, you know, but they don't have a necessarily like a concrete ask or a concrete like sort of direction on that stuff. And I think that is kind of, That's one of the toughest middle grounds. And I'm still there on so many different levels, but I do feel like I've been through that so many times in, you know, different scenarios, that like, I know sometimes I just have to be patient and I can't even ask them for the answer because I have the answer. I know the answer, which is, oh, I have to go do the work, or, oh, I have to put in more time on this, you know, and it's just, you know, ultimately like they're going to be more valuable. And our conversation can be more valuable when I have more to bring to the table. I don't have enough to bring to the table yet.
Yes.
So the point is, where a lot of that leads is when we're having these conversations about what do you want to do, right? What do you want to do with your life? Where are you going? Where have you been? Where are you? And then where are you going? Where? And it's like, ultimately, so many people are putting the dream scenario on a pedestal, as we've said over and over, and will continue to say, which is like, you think you'll get here and then you'll be happy. It's this like, it's like the stupid version of delayed gratification. I love delayed gratification. I think it's awesome.
It's instrumental to growth as a person as well.
Certainly. And it's like the cause of a lot of quote unquote goals being reached and like, you know, milestones being hit, levels, you know, but delayed gratification, like the unhealthy version, is when you put all of your gratification or maybe your validation into reaching a certain level and thinking that your happiness, which maybe that's an interesting point to delve into, which is happiness, which doesn't necessarily need to rely on validation. You can be happy without having almost any validation to a degree,
Yeah. I'm agreeing 100%. Yeah.
So the point is, like, the dangerous side of validation is thinking that validation will be the cause of happiness. To me, if validation is your main source of happiness, that's a fucked up situation. I don't think that's generally positive. Maybe in some scenarios it's okay. But I think generally validation, at least from my perspective, in a healthy way, is a cherry on top. It is a little like bonus boost. It is not the core element of happiness.
It can't be. Yeah, it can't be. Just like we said that it happiness sometimes in creativity can exist without a little validation. Too much validation is like, to keep with the ice cream metaphor, a sundae that's all whipped cream, right? There's no substance to it.
Oof. Kill me.
Right? I think also a dark element of validation is the dependency that we can form around it, which is sometimes almost inevitable. People who receive validation when maybe they still don't know exactly what they want to do, not in like a what's your career, but in like how they want to create or what they want to do. And so they follow the validation.
Oh, wow.
The first like hint of positive feedback they get, they chase it. And it's a natural thing to do.
Yeah.
And it can lead them down the wrong path, and it can get them hooked on external focus, and you can do a lot of
right. Okay. Things. So we've agreed validation comes from a third party.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're just chasing what a third party says you should chase, that is inherently not coming from you. Right. At least on a base level, like,
but it's a balancing act, because the reason we create things is for, not as a rule, but it's for people to appreciate in some capacity.
Yeah.
And so outside criticism is part of it.
Yeah.
And so if you're blind to it always, then you're not going to create better things, I don't think.
Mm-hmm.
Like, as someone who aspires someday to write fiction, if I have, you know, God forbid, fans who asked for in mass a different type of writing, I might be prompted to try it out. I don't think that's some sort of failure, and I don't think that's sort of an unhealthy reaction, but it certainly can be.
Again, another episode, just audience versus...
We should do an audience episode. Yeah. I bet there are plenty of people who know.
Yeah, that's a really interesting... It's an interesting area to delve into.
Well... But
for me, Vince... Something really validating is a lot of times it comes from competition. You know,
that's true.
It is kind of, right? It's like,
I mean, that's maybe one of the more visceral and immediate ways for validation is to defeat an opponent at something that's very, you know, cut and dry with what a reward system looks like.
Oh, yeah. It really, man. And it's also, what a way to get motivated than to compete, to put a little something on the line.
Oh, certainly.
Currently, I'm engaged, and this is going to be a segue. I just want to forewarn you. Currently, I'm engaged.
We almost got out of that.
Oh, we were so close. Currently, I'm engaged in like a best of five series with my roommate on a little bit of N64. We're playing best of five on five different games.
Oh, no kidding.
So best of five series of a game of like whatever, some sort of match within each one. So for example, the first game we played was Blitz 99 or whatever.
NFL Blitz.
Yep, on the Nintendo 64.
Great arcade style football romp that you just don't see anymore.
Super fun. Mario Kart was another.
That's a classic.
Ken Griffey Jr. What's it called? Like Slam Fest or something.
Really? I've never heard
Slugfest,
of that.
Slugfest. Yeah. And now we're on Mario Golf.
Really? Mario Golf is notoriously hard.
It's so tough, dude. Oh, my gosh.
It's a grinder.
We just got it. We just, like, you know, it was late one night, and we were like, what else could we play? And we got it off eBay. And, yeah, man, we just started playing it last night. Super tough. It was really... And this week's off-topic topic is video games.
And more...
Nostalgic video games.
Exactly. I don't know about our listeners, but a huge part of my youth was spent playing video games. They were, in many ways, the Saturday morning cartoons of our generation.
Yeah, dude.
It's basically entertainment that you interact with, and it went through a dark period in the late 90s where people were blaming them for all sorts of things. But I think finally they are emerging as an accepted, just visual storytelling medium like anything else, and a stimulating one at that.
They're certainly not going anywhere.
I would say so.
And we should point out that was one of our better segues into the off-topic topic. Thank you.
Yes, Grant, well done. Nostalgic video games, there's one that we share as a passion.
Yeah.
And that I played for probably hundreds of hours as a child. That would be Super Smash Bros. For the N64.
Yep.
If you guys aren't aware, we've talked about it dozens of times, actually, on the show.
Yeah.
Where various Nintendo franchise characters square off in a battle royale. And it's insane how it went from... It was, I'm not sure if you know this one, the original,
party,
but it was like a family-style party game that wasn't really slated to have like, much success.
Yeah.
It was
low
kind
stakes.
Of a bizarre kind of an idea for a game, this mishmash of platforms.
Yeah, it was meant to be played as a family, like, yeah.
Yeah, and now it has evolved into
one of the most,
the
like,
most
yeah.
played Nintendo franchise.
Hyper-competitive.
And extremely competitive
tournaments.
Esport.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, and we should show notes, the Smash Bros. Documentary. 4.5 hours long. One of the best documentaries I've ever seen. I mean, it's episodic, so it's not like you sit it and watch one through, but it's on YouTube. Fucking, oh my God. I fell in love. I mean, we're hoping to get one of those top-tier Smashers.
That would be a dream come true.
Yeah, I got a feeling we will. Yeah.
I feel good about it.
Yeah. And I destroy you in Smash.
Very frequently wins. I would say easily 19 out of 20 matches.
I came at you pretty hard right there, and I do want to apologize for that. I was proving there, as Chris McAllister, who was on the show, proving or hiding. He talks a lot about that.
I would say don't hide from the truth. The fact that you frequently beat me, I would say, yeah, 19
validation.
Times out of 20 probably.
Validation.
And it's also just the facts. But because my validation for playing Smash Bros. With you doesn't come solely from victory.
Yes.
I still have a great time.
And I would regardless, because you know what it is? It's the company. The company, it's the camaraderie.
Amen, my friend.
And it's winning.
Let's go back earlier. Did you play video games before
yeah.
you had an N64?
So, dude, I feel like I have so many friends that came up with the Game Boys. Like, unbelievable amount of friends. I just didn't have one. I feel like I had...
Really?
I didn't have a Game Boy. Like, I never played Pokemon on there, even though, like, I feel like that was, like, a treat for me to occasionally see that, and I was obsessed with Pokemon cards, but never had, like, Game Boy Pokemon. I feel like I did have, like, different versions of handheld things, though. I had, like, weird little handheld games. I don't know. Like cheap ones. I can't think of... I feel like there's, like, a fighting one, or... I was, like, always...
Oh, those way back where they just played the one game?
It's like a pen. Yeah, I don't know. Like, I was always playing video games. Like, I love them. Really, I feel like I came up like Sega. And I would still play Sega because I have such deep nostalgia for it. Sega Genesis.
You seem like a Sega guy. That was the...
Interesting.
I didn't have... I mean, the Sega kids I felt were like maybe a little more well-rounded, actually. than like some... Like, you got some Nintendo kids that really became... Because Nintendo didn't have as... I don't think a vibrant of like a... horror game or a storytelling adventure game or sports game.
Sure.
It was more classic platforming, and they were, a lot of times, they were more family friendly. But Sega was the more adventurous of the two consoles, I think, early on.
Dude, some good games on there. I want to say Golden Axe was...
Really?
If you remember the game? Just kind of an adventure, medieval, magic kind of... Dude, I fucking... Ugh. I love those games, especially with a friend. The two-player co-op mode, what a treat, man.
Yes.
What a treat. Like,
certainly.
Dude, I would love to just go do that for a couple days or something. Me and my homie Mavitz used to do, when we were in high school at least, during the winters, we would play like Assassin's Creed or something, or like whatever, like a two-player game. We would just like go bundle up into my room for like 4 days straight and just beat a game.
Dude.
It's like the best.
And try to sit there and tell me that that's not as enriching of an entertainment experience as any other type
right?
of medium.
Right? Dude, wow, yeah. It brings people together. It's pretty awesome. So, okay. 100%. So, Sega was the jam. What was the dude, the green guy with the shot balls? No.
Ooh.
I'm not sure.
Interesting.
I played a lot of Sega. I also played a lot of Sega with my pops, which was pretty cool.
Oh, that's
a good
nice.
Little
yeah, I
thing.
Also have fond memories playing with my father
nice.
On the Super Nintendo. I think Mega Man was one of my favorites.
Mega Man, what
now,
a
there's
game.
A,
yeah.
That's a challenging game.
Yeah.
I had Mega Man and Mega Man X, and to this day, I have never beaten Mega Man X.
Wow, that game was dope. I loved that game.
Wow.
Crazy, man. Dude, you get those nostalgia things, you know,
yeah,
buzzing?
It's rolling, like, man.
Holy crap.
It's like a shock to the system. I was a Game Boy junkie as well.
You were? Okay.
Yeah, big Pokemon fan. Oof. And the Harvest Moon Game Boy adaptation.
Okay, yeah, I never played, but...
It's like a farming life sim. It's
whoa.
Probably the most zen game you can
oh
ever play.
Oh, my goodness.
You just,
my
like,
goodness.
Water plants and, like, fall in love with another character.
Unbelievable. Good for you, man. What was her name?
Karen. Actually, I remember this.
Wow.
Unreal.
I have a weird memory of me and my dad playing a video game, a Sega, in, like, the office of our old house. This, like, little kind of small, tiny little room. This, technically the office, and it was just my Sega in there. And a family friend's son came down, and we had the lights off, and he was just, I just remember him criticizing. He was like, you shouldn't play video games with the lights off. It's bad for your eyes. And he had, like, glasses. And I just remember thinking, nerd. It was, like, so, I mean, what, he was, like, perfectly fine individual.
Yeah.
I just think, like, a weird, like, specific memory
That's
of that.
Strange.
Yeah, we were playing.
Well, maybe it's like, a vulnerable moment for you,
yeah,
sharing,
like,
it with your pops. And
Yeah. This kid's, like, trying to take my dad.
Yeah, some random comment.
He's just trying to one-up me and just, like, just take my dad.
Put down
That's my dad, pal.
Seem, I think you maybe are reading, like, slightly more into it.
Okay, maybe I do have some stuff I need to deal with.
In terms of validation, what's the most rewarding video game you've ever played or beat?
Ooh, fuck. What an interesting question, Vince. I loved... Dude, wow. Oh, my gosh. Dude, Ninja Turtles was a sick one to play with a friend.
Very tough game,
too. Oh,
infamously wow. tough.
What a game.
Turtles in Time, right?
Yes, I loved that game. Also, because... Yeah, that was when I was really young. Me and my homie would, like, watch the movie and then, like, play the game and just run around and, like, make believe. Oh boy.
Oh my gosh.
It was seriously pretty epic.
Pretty nice.
Dude, Street Fighter 64. Is that what it's called? Yeah, it's like that was a co-op game too. I still have that one. That was pretty fun. Go deep.
All the Street Fighter franchises have been, they're the gold standard in two-player fighting games.
Yeah, right? Yeah. What about
man.
You?
Ooh, it's tough. I mean, the original Pokemon Blue.
Yeah, dude, that was the thing, man.
Beating,
Pokemon Blue and Red. Is it Ruby? Ruby and...
Those are,
it,
that's
Blue and
Generation
Red.
4.
Oh, yeah, okay. That
it's
was
far in the future.
Jeez. I was obsessed with those games, but I didn't get to play them. I was like...
I feel like part you made up for it, obviously, with other games and other
yeah.
parts of your childhood.
Sega, but I've killed Sega, dude. I play a lot of Sega.
I think that's definitely something that many people our age can reflect upon fondly. I still have friends that play the new Pokemon games.
Wow.
Otherwise, very normal, well-adjusted folks. But they just... the bond that they made to the franchise started so young that there's no way they can ever shake it.
Unbelievable, man. Isn't that crazy?
Yeah, it's nice in a way, too, I think.
It's pretty cool. I'm into it. Yeah, I mean, I'm still pretty much the only game system I use is an N64. It's kind of funny.
I mean, original in some ways and still the best in some ways. So. Yeah. Some of my favorite games are still for N64. Mario Tennis. I'm a tennis player. And so
Mario Tennis.
I broke that game apart.
Literally making a note. Sorry.
No, absolutely. The strategery, the tactics. I could almost do perfect play.
Wow. I believe that. You're a tennis fan. You're a gamer. You're competitive. Sorry. I am making a note to buy Mario Tennis because that's... Clearly got to be on our list here.
That's a classic, man. And it's a lot of fun. But, yeah, man, some of my fondest all-time memories, even of, like, last weekend, are playing video games with good friends and making memories. And maybe when I was a kid, it was because we would stay up late and, like, talk about stuff we didn't usually talk about during it.
Yeah.
And now it's because we can turn off the stresses of our careers and our relationships and our day-to-day, you know, whatever is going on, and just, like, focus on a simple objective and have a couple beers while we do it, and it's a good time.
Hell yeah, buddy. And if that's not validation,
I don't know what is.
And we end, do we end the episode there? We have to. I mean, it's
a nice how can our listeners support us?
Follow, you know what? Okay, a couple ways. Follow us on Twitter. You know, we don't tweet a bunch, but it's honestly the most lightweight and easiest way to, like, interact with people. Just at the 10K HRS. And it's just fun. We have a little community on there. Yeah. And you can get us on Facebook too, but really, like, I feel like the true love's going out on Twitter. And then and just signing up for the email every week. You know, we put time into publishing that. And we're improving it, honestly, I think. But it's just essentially, you know, here's who was on the show this week. Here's the last two episodes. I think it's just a nice way to stay in the loop. And then ultimately, like, it'd be cool if they could rate us on iTunes.
Maybe it means a lot. Yeah. Find us, subscribe, and rate us.
Totally, man. I mean, if you like the show, let us know. That's like really cool. If you're listening to this right now, say, hey.
Couple clicks and not to like shill about it, but it's great to get feedback. We talk about validation,
man. Yeah.
And to hear from people who like to listen, it makes all the difference.
Yeah, it's fun.
Vinny, so what about some last thoughts? Yeah,
I mean, do you have any last thoughts?
Yeah, I would. My last thoughts are maybe a little bit reiterative, but it's don't be afraid of validation, I think is what I would say. Because even though you can't need it, you do need mm-hmm. it in a way. And I think a lot of my fond memories from creating things are because my friends who I love and respect react positively to the thing that I made. Mm-hmm. And that's got to be okay for you to... It's not a crutch. It's like a shoulder that you can throw your arm around every once in a while. And validation makes something that's already rewarding more rewarding.
Dude, cherry.
Exactly.
Cherry on top. Man, that's like an awesome perspective. I feel like that's such a good way of looking at it. And I feel like this is totally my experience, as are all of these things. But what I realized is, and actually something I think that's helpful to me was I rebelled really hard, I think. Oh, and okay, maybe I leaned into validation right away. I was like, oh, I'm addicted to this thing. And then I really rebelled against it because I felt that. And I feel like I was like so twisted about, you know, what that meant and all these things. And I kind of just like made a bunch of stuff and just got reps. And I continue to do that. But now I think it's like less like hyper like reps focused and more like, you know, thoughtful, something I really believe in that I want to put out generally as the stuff I'm making. And I found that over time, the more I got comfortable with myself and the more I kind of found my groove in terms of, you know, my voice, my aesthetic, anything I'm making that I believe in, the more validation mattered because the more it was authentic and it was real and it was actually a reflection of what I was putting out there. So I feel like until again, I'm never going to say it's like you figure yourself out and now all of a sudden you're like self-sentient. You're like self-aware. Like
there's no mountaintop to reach.
Right. But I do think there are levels of in-tuneness, you know, of getting in touch with yourself and understanding your own voice and then projecting that. And I think if you can almost delay your validation points a little bit into that, I think that's really positive because I think it's going to mean more when you do it and you're going to be less reliant on it in the long run. And perhaps I can leave us with a paraphrase of a quote that I've read in full on the show. I don't remember which guest that was, but you know, I was paraphrasing. Well, at that time I was specifically quoting Seth Godin during his interview on The Great Discontent, when he talked about the idea that doing anything new, or anything that hasn't been done before, or anything unique, the people around you generally will not tell you to do it, because if they were telling you to do it, it would most likely mean that it's something that had already been done before. So they would have a construct. They would understand what that is. And so they would be telling you to do it. So if you are truly interested in doing new, unique, never been done before, or at least out there things, I think you have to rely on yourself a little bit and you have to kind of not listen to other people so much and find your validation, you know,
just eventually. Don't mistake validation for permission in some ways.
Totally. Well. Yeah. Give yourself permission.
100%. I think that's a great note to end on, and always love to reflect on Seth and his wisdom.
It's a high Grant, five for you.
Yeah, that was, if you guys
as a host faintly
hear it, we did another. More. That should show up on the audio. If not, Pat
we'll, want do, you to, we'll record some Foley. He'll high five. Like,
I want you to scour the internet for the best high five.
For the best high five sound file.
That aside,
if we have to pay for it, that's fine. Just invoice me.
Invoice yourself, Pat. But Grant, in terms of validation, thank you for being a great co-host as well. Oh. I had a great time today, and I always do.
Vinny, likewise, man. You're the homie.
Should we ship this thing out?
Ship it.